Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 10 of the Baywatch podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Span, and tonight I'm joined by my lovely wife, Mrs. Span.
Hi.
Say hi, baby.
What's up?
You're tired, aren't you? It's late. I know. It's like 12:30 as we start this podcast, man. This has been a bit of a labor of love, I should say, because we've been like hopping on the mic not long after these episodes have been going off. This is the final night of the Surviving R. Kelly series on Netflix television. And we're wrapping up our recaps of what we saw, what we think about it, and putting it on the mic and putting it out here for you guys to consume and tell us what you guys think about it. But before we get into everything that we saw tonight and everything we're going to talk about tonight, of course, I got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Baywatch Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll play them on the show and respond right here. You can also email us here at feedback@thebaywatchpodcast.com. That's feedback@thebaywatchpodcast.com. Leave those emails and we will read those emails here live on the show also. You can follow us both on Twitter. My name on Twitter is Mr_Span. And what is your handle, babe?
It's Podcast Bay. But if you can't find me there, just try searching like any variation of like the Baywatch podcast until you see our logo, which is like us as cartoons kind of smiling there.
It's cool.
So, but Podcast Bay is me. But also sometimes Mr. Span does hop on that account when I don't feel like being in these mean Twitter streets.
Yeah, man. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to kind of allude a little bit about that later. But we are also, I need to tell you guys how to get, like, you can leave 5-star reviews, man. I've been forgetting to, like, mention that you can leave 5-star reviews for the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. And those 5-star reviews are the ones that actually will get read on the show. And we will respond to you right here on the show. You know what? If you don't leave anything, like, for this particular show, if you ain't got shit nice to say, I ain't reading that shit. My wife don't have to be subject to this shit. So, if you don't have anything nice to say in your 5-star reviews, then we won't read that shit. But for those of you who are going to leave those 5-star reviews, please leave those 5-star reviews on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. It's one way to help the show grow. It's your way of putting down for the show. It doesn't cost you a dime. Just 2 minutes of your time. Let everybody know why you are messing with us over here at the Baywatch Podcast. And for all of your Baywatch Podcast needs, go to www.thebaywatchpodcast.com. You can go there. You can replay the show. You can vote in polls. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. Of course, we appreciate every dime from those of you who do that. And you can also check out our store at the Span Report Podcast Network store. That is also available on the website. You can go there, cop yourself some merch, get yourself a t-shirt or a hoodie or a coffee mug or something. It's another way to put down for the show, and it helps us keep this thing going, right? So we really do appreciate everybody who does that. Now, let's get into what we kind of watched and everything. But before we do that, like we were alluding to, sometimes me taking over the Podcast Bay Twitter account as I was live tweeting from the account tonight for the Surviving R. Kelly live tweeting and everything. Before my wife was handling that, but I took over that. And can we talk a little bit about why you didn't feel comfortable with that, baby?
Well, okay, it's not that I didn't feel comfortable. It's just that social media is really draining to me. Mm-hmm. And people, I always tease you about arguing with strangers on the internet, and like you love to debate and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's you, I mean, that's your thing. Like you like to have like a discourse and a back and forth with people. But I think you let things go easily. You're just not affected by it. And to me, social media is super draining because it's like people can't agree to disagree or leave well enough alone. Mm-hmm. So that bothers me. Also, I ain't no punk ass bitch. So if you start to come for me, I'm going to start to come for you. Mm-hmm. I don't want to invite that negativity into my real life, which is a happy, loving place with me and my husband and my family. So I just want to clarify, like, I did make some tweets that were critical of Drea. I'm not apologizing for those tweets. I think it's okay to be critical of someone, whether they're a victim of abuse, whether, you know, she's telling her story, she's sharing her testimony, and she is doing that in public. So people are going to be critical of her. And I think she probably knows that. People have probably been critical of her for quite some time. However, I'm not blaming her in any way for what has happened to her. I believe that she was abused by R. Kelly. I believe that she is telling the truth about the things that she's saying. However, when I said something in the milk ain't clean, I was alluding to some of the things that have come out about her recently. Some of the things that she has said and some of her actions that have also been made public make you kind of go, interesting. I also stated my opinion about her changing her name because that's something that I would do. And that's something I stated on my Twitter, which is something where I can voice my opinions. And, you know, like I said, I'm not apologizing for anything that I said. I just wanted to make it clear that I definitely am not saying that sis is lying about her testimony or lying about anything that she has stated on this documentary or any allegations that she has made. Not saying that I think she's lying. I think that her actions and some of the ways that she has been behaving are odd and come across as off.
Yeah.
And that's that on that.
And when we talk about some of the things that came out about Dre, I think, for one, it was that video that came out with her in the car listening to R. Kelly music and, you know, just kind of vibing with the music, saying, yeah, that's my baby daddy. And, you know, like, just kind of being, like, for people who are watching, you know, surviving R. Kelly right now, to see her the way that she is on the documentary and juxtaposing that with how she was behaving in that video, it could be like, well, wait, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Also, there was a, I was watching Roland Martin on YouTube earlier today, and Sparkle was doing an interview with Roland Martin, and she was talking about the, you know, the documentary and everything. And as she was doing the interview, there was a huge picture behind her, and it was basically a picture of her first album, the album cover. And on the album cover, it said prominently that her album was written, produced, and arranged by R. Kelly. And folks in the comment section of that particular video were taken aback on the simple fact that she was doing this interview in front of a picture that prominently displayed R. Kelly's name. And so, you know, like, they people are very cynical, like, on, like, the internet. People, by and large, I think, are very cynical because we see so much, and so much coming at folks and stuff. And there's always this sense of, well, we're not getting the whole story, right?
Yeah.
And so, I think you know, you kind of getting a little, you know, you get a little bit of that. But I also kind of feel like there is this thing where, like, if you are not in lockstep with how everybody is feeling about a particular thing, folks will come at you. And I think the way that we handle those sort of things are a bit different. You know, like, you're not really, I don't feel like you don't really want to have that sort of discourse with folks. Whereas, like, I'm not really, you know, I'm not afraid of it. Sometimes I'll kick the shit off. But yeah. It's coming your way from somebody you simply just don't fucking know, and, like, if they had taken the time to look at your timeline to see that y'all probably agree on 90% of the shit that y'all talking about right now, that conversation would have never even been a thing.
Yeah.
With that exchange.
And there's one thing about me, you know, I have a really, really bad temper.
Sometimes I do too.
Yes. But for me, I can go from, like, 0 to, like, 6,000 real quick. And if you come for me, I'm going to come back for you, like, 35 times harder. And I think as an adult, a grown woman who's been through some things in her life, I just don't feel the need to invite that into my life, especially with a stranger. I don't want to give that much of my energy to a stranger. I want to give my energy to my husband. I want to give my energy to my parents, to my close family members. I don't want to give that type of energy to any stranger. Now, I mean, I'll chit chat with you. We can laugh. We can kiki. We can disagree on things. But once you come for me on a personal level, the game has changed.
Yeah.
And at this point in my life, I think that the best thing that I can do is to block you. So if you could come at me, you can challenge what I have to say, but keep it on that topic. Keep it you know what I'm saying, with the topic of what we're talking about, if you come at me on a personal level, you're gonna get blocked.
Well, and like I was telling you before, though, baby, like, you don't owe motherfuckers on the internet a goddamn thing.
Correct.
So, you know, you can always, like, point them to me. And
I mean, and I was just joking to myself, thinking, you know, saying that it pissed me off. I had to go get the big bad wolf, like,
point them my way.
Like, oh, here so we go. But
you really want to go here? We can do this.
The problem, you know, I'm not saying I can't defend myself or I'm scared or I was sitting around crying about something that happened on Twitter. It's just, that's not my jam. That's not my tea. That ain't my thing to sit and go back and forth and dig at people and do whatever. That's just not what I want to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, just let's keep it cute.
All right. So we got that out the way. Don't come at my wife. It's going to be some problems. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, man. So we watched this finale, episodes 5 and 6 of Surviving R. Kelly. And we got some thoughts about him. And going into this, babe, I know you said you had some concerns about whether or not this particular series was going to jump the shark. Do you feel like it did tonight with the, you know, the story behind Dominique Gardner's mom, like trying to get her from the grips of R. Kelly's, you know, psychosis, so to speak?
No. I liked the way that they handled it. I think it was like a good mixture between like the format that they already had going and what kind of occurred tonight. I guess like I don't know what the word is. I wished that like they could have said like they got all the girls back, and you know, like, yeah. I wish that it would have had a happy ending, you know.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was happy to see that was it Dominique
Gardner
came back. They did say, however, at the end that she left for, you know, 3 days after, but she is back with her mom and with her family and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy to see that.
Maybe she went to go get her shit back. Like, you know, maybe she had some more stuff. It was like, I need my shit.
I don't think she did. I think she left like, I can't do this. And like, he kind of still had maybe that pull with her. And then she probably had, you know, the first time she left, she probably got a taste of freedom, and that taste of like a loving, healthy environment and like her mom and her family back and having like a little piece of herself back. But there's probably still something like tugging at her.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It seemed like her mama had a little money, so she probably could have bought her whatever she wanted. But so,
you know what, though? Like, I was so rooting for her mama, because her mama, out of everybody, you know, out of everybody in this particular series, like, her mom was like the GOAT. Like, her mom came through for her. Her mom never gave up on her. Her mom like traveled across country to go get her. Like, and I was rooting for her mom like the entire time. Like, she from the moment she came on screen, she was like, yo, stay the fuck away from my daughter. And she meant that shit. Like, she went and got her baby, like, in a way that I don't know. I don't, as far as like a lot of the parents of these women and these girls are concerned, like, a lot of them just didn't come off good. Like, and now that was, I think that was a more difficult thing to kind of like take in. Like, as much as we all like dislike what R. Kelly has been doing and has been getting away with for 20 plus years, like, you look at some of these parents and you're like, man, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, because, make no mistake, this her coming back with her mom is something that happened in 2018.
Yeah, that happened.
This is not something that like happened a few years ago or in 2000 or whenever. Like,
right.
This is current. Like, these women were with current R. Kelly, like 2017, 2016 R. Kelly, and have come back to their families in 2018 when, yeah, this documentary was made. So it's not as if, like, you know, this was years ago and the parents maybe still didn't quite know what's going on. Like, this is like, we know what's going on. There's been books written, there's articles written, there's videos out. Like, these parents knew what the fuck was going on.
Right. So, and like, you know, it was just one of those things where, like, you're looking at the desperation of stardom that a lot of these people have, where they're willing to like hand their daughters over to a dude who has a reputation of, you know, mistreating and, you know, sexually abusing young girls. And I got this one clip that I kind of wanted to play real quick is of Joycelyn Savage's parents. And they were talking about how they met R. Kelly. And this was in the spring of 2015. And this is how they described the meeting of R. Kelly with their daughter.
When we met Mr. Kelly, we went in strictly for a professional relationship.
I think that R. Kelly could have helped put my daughter in the right position to help her make her a star, because he had a lot of influences with the record labels, and he's created big hits with a lot of people. I think it was back in 2008, we did hear some type of, you know, allegations that he had a trial that was going on. But the courts found him not guilty at that time, so we didn't think nothing else of it.
All right, all right. So they say in 2008, they read something about R. Kelly was on trial, but he was found not guilty, so they didn't think anything else of it. And I find it very fucking hard to believe that in 2008 or in 2015, that's the only thing that you had heard about R. Kelly and his predilection to like having an attraction to young girls or underage girls. And it's like that level of dismissiveness that you see in a lot of, like, say, for instance, Facebook, you know, chat threads or whatever. When people are talking about this particular issue, the threads are always filled with people who be like, yo, I fuck with R. Kelly. I listen to the music. You know, he was found not guilty, so who am I to judge? And, you know, these same people have all this faith in the justice system when it came to R. Kelly, be the same motherfuckers that's mad when George Zimmerman is walking away for killing Trayvon Martin. Like, they don't have that same energy for this sort of shit. And so, you know, for them to be like, yo, you know, we went into this for a professional relationship. You know, we knew he had connections within the music industry and all this other stuff. It was like, yeah. And yeah, there was this whole child porn thing that he, you know, but he was found not guilty, so we didn't think nothing else of that shit. Like, how did that come across to you, babe? Like, what were you thinking when you saw that?
It was just like a kind of like a what the fuck. Like, because while I may have not known the full story, I still had an opinion of him. And while I still, you know, listened to that music for quite some time before I really, you know, stopped myself and thought, you know what, this is fucked up. Like, he's a fucked up man and whatever else. Like, these are adults. These are parents, right, of a young girl.
Right.
I would think that they would take the charges and take all of the accusations and stuff. I would think that they would take that more to heart because their child is the age that, you know, R. Kelly likes and stuff like that. So right. It was just kind of like it was a what the fuck moment for me. Like, y'all just ain't think nothing about it.
Yeah.
And it just also made me think about, so they're in Chicago. They're from Chicago. The Savage family.
Are they? I didn't get that from them.
I did.
That makes it even fucking worse.
This is when I'm kind of, well, I don't know, because, you know, he gets a lot of hometown love. There's a lot of people that he's beloved in Chicago.
I get that. But what I'm saying is, when I say that makes it worse, I'm saying, yeah, you knew more than, oh, we had heard that he was on trial for, you know, child pornography or whatever, but we didn't think anything of it. Like, you had heard many more things other than that trial. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you were in Chicago, you were privy to much more information in Chicago, being in Chicago, than had you been probably anywhere else in the country. Yeah, you probably heard some stuff, but like, if you were in Chicago, the stories were much more entrenched within Southside, especially Southside, Westside Chicago, than probably anywhere else. Everybody had a story about R. Kelly, or had knew somebody who knew somebody who was fucking with R. Kelly at the time, especially when, like, I was in high school and stuff like that. So, like, for her parents to, if they were from Chicago, to be talking about, well, we had heard he got, went on trial, but that was pretty much it. We ain't think nothing else of it. I was just like, oh my God.
The only reason I'm guessing that they're from Chicago is because they had come to him. They had met him for like a business opportunity, but it has something to do. They have a boutique, like a clothing boutique, and it has something to do with that. But to me, maybe they're from Atlanta because he was living in Atlanta. So they came to him saying, you know, and this is the problem. They came to him like 2 years ago or whenever, 3 years ago, talking about, you know, a business opportunity, but R. Kelly don't have no money no more like that.
Well, not only that. So, say, for instance, even if they are in Atlanta. Like, Atlanta is probably one of the most poppinest fucking music locales you can be in right now. R. Kelly ain't the only motherfucker like floating around Atlanta. You got fucking Candy is in Atlanta. JD is in Atlanta. Usher is in Atlanta.
Bow Wow.
Bow Wow's little crazy ass is in Atlanta. Like, it's a whole lot of motherfuckers. Everybody is in Atlanta. Like, you know, Outkast is in Atlanta. Fucking DeBrat is in Atlanta. It's so many people that's in Atlanta, like, you know, that you could kind of reach out to who are actually from fucking Atlanta. So the idea that R. Kelly is the guy that you'd want to have this opportunity to, like, get your daughter put on, like, oh my, like, it just seems it's worse. And like, this was the part of the story where I was like, yo, man, like, you can't, like, for all intents and purposes, like, you know, the questions that a lot of folks would have for the girls, like, there was questions that people had of the girls, like, well, why would you do this? And why would you do that? And you have to, like, kind of look, recognize, like, yo, they were actually children, you know what I'm saying, when they were making those decisions. These are full-grown, able-bodied, rationally, you would think, rationally thinking motherfuckers. And these were the decisions that they were making. So if these were the decisions that they were making, how then can you, like, you know, expect a teenager, a 15 or 16-year-old girl?
Joycelyn was 19 when she met him.
I get that, baby. I'm talking about the parents, though. The parents who would give their daughter away to somebody who they have, you know, who has this history, you know, that's pretty much well-documented, well-known, parodied, and everything else.
But I think the problem that we're running into is, okay, so if Joycelyn met him in 2016 and she was 19 at that time, as a parent, you have no legal control. Now, did they make the initial mistake of bringing him into their family, introducing their daughter, you know, doing business with him at all? Mm. Yes, they made that terrible mistake. Mm-hmm. But the problem that they're running into and why they haven't been in contact with their daughter and why the police and, you know, people saying FBI need to get involved, all this stuff. These are legally adults.
Yeah, I know.
The girls that he has now are legal adults. The police cannot come in and make them call their mom. They can't come in and make them go home.
Right.
So that's like the main problem now. Like, I'm not saying that they're any more or less fucked up, because why would you trying to do business with a fucking predator? Like, you're gross. But they have no, I understand their pain, I understand their sadness, but they really are helpless in this situation.
And like, I was trying to, and I'm glad you make that point, because I was trying to, like, as pissed off with them as I am still, I'm like, yo, what the fuck? You still have to recognize that, like, at the end of the day, they are still trying to get their daughter back. Like, they have no contact with their daughter. The only time they've seen or heard from their daughter is when she was, like, doing that contrived-ass interview on TMZ that he was controlling and everything else. So, like, I can understand, as a parent, being that upset about not being able to contact and and be with your child, but also wondering, like, yo, like, you had to know. You know what I'm saying? And that, like,
it really made me think, like, okay, if you and I want to start a business, or do, you know, like, we want to start a business, we want to do this, that, and the other, or, you know what I'm saying, I want to, you know, start my career as a famous rapper. And we're trying to think, like, who could we call? You know what I'm saying? Like, who's around that we could get in contact with? What the fuck were they thinking when they said, I got it, let's see if R. Kelly can help us out?
Not only that, though, like, let's keep it a buck. Who has R. Kelly put on since Sparkle? Like, think about this for a minute. Like, Sparkle, when they came out with that Be Careful song.
Yeah.
Like, when was that? 98, 99?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's over 20 years ago. Like, when has R. Kelly ever put anybody else on? Like, you ain't heard from nobody else. Like, and even with Aaliyah, yeah, he, you know, he produced her album and stuff like that. But then you think about it, Aaliyah's biggest fucking work wasn't with R. Kelly, it was with Timbaland.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the two albums that she put out right before she passed. So, like, R. Kelly hasn't really put, he doesn't have the track record of putting people on. Like, that's just not what it is.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're just, they are, I don't know if maybe I just never looked at R. Kelly like he was just that deal. Like, I don't think from, maybe from my generation, but I don't know if people really looked at him like he was, I think maybe that's like a little bit before my time to look at him like he was really, really, really super like that deal. Like, he had some hits.
Oh, he was like by late 90s, early 2000s. R. Kelly, like, he was that dude musically. Like, his shit was everywhere.
Yeah, but, like, I'm thinking about, like, when I look back, you know, like, that whole conversation that was going on, like, last week or whatever about, like, who's the king of R&B and, like, you know, Jacquees went around here acting a goddamn fool.
Let's leave that in 2018.
But, like... I mean, I'm just really thinking, like, these people really was looking at him like he was just, like, they are in awe of him.
Mm-hmm.
They are just, like, the grown, the adults, the parents.
Yeah.
Are, like, wow, in awe that he would even, like, bestow his presence upon them.
Right.
And I can't relate. I never looked at him like that. I can never, like, these people just coming on saying, I'm a super fan and this and the other, like, whew.
Yeah, I don't know the super fan life. I was a big Jordan fan, but I don't know if, like, I don't know if I would,
Yeah, but if Jordan came up to you and was like, now you gotta call me daddy, you'll be like, nigga, what? Like,
nigga, what?
Nah.
But nah, in all seriousness, though, like, it's one of those things where you don't want to, like, you don't want to victim blame, right? And, but also you just like, come on, bruh. You know what I'm saying? Like, I sat up as I was watching episode 5 a lot with the, like, the come on, bruh face. Like, man, really? Like, so we were talking about, like, the parents, though. There was also the segment with Kitty Jones. Kitty Jones was a lady who was she was, like, pretty much, she was a radio disc jockey. She was on the radio. And she met R. Kelly through a radio function. And I got this clip here of when she first met R. Kelly and started, you know, dealing with him as well. We're going to take a little bit of a listen to this here.
In Dallas, and a friend of mine said, you know, have you ever watched the sex tape? And I was furious with her and I felt disrespected because at this point, this is my boyfriend. Not only that, I just felt like if you had respect for me, you wouldn't be bringing up something that people are gonna always make fun of him over. I'm offended as well. But my curiosity just kind of got the best of me, and I Googled it. And when I saw the images, the images were the same girl that he introduced me to a couple weeks before. I knew immediately it was the same woman. I just didn't know how to feel. I guess I felt like I was tricked into something all at the same time. It was just a bunch of emotions coming over me. Like, am I really with someone that did this?
All right. I actually thought I had a little bit more of that clip, but I didn't. There was a part where she was talking about how she first met with R. Kelly at that radio function. She was like, she told him she was in her 30s and everything, and, you know, talked about how they just kind of courted for a bit. And then she said she moved to Chicago.
She quit her job.
She quit her job. Chicago. Moved to Chicago. And she talked about, you know, it wasn't because she was just in love with him. It was in love with each other. And when she came back home, that's when a friend of hers told her about, you know, was asking her about the tape. And she got upset with her friend. And that was, again, one of those what the fuck moments for me. Because in radio, you like, come on, man. Like,
y'all know. That's, I'm very confused. Like, what the fuck radio station? What were you doing if you ain't, it's 2011 and she's 33. Mm. So now she's what, like 42? So.
No, she's like 2 years older than me. So that would be, she's like 40.
So. Ma'am. Like. What grown, at that point in 2011, she's a grown ass woman. She's mm-hmm. she's in journalism. She's in media.
Right.
Not, they didn't say how long she had been in this. But you mean to tell me that after all this, you still met R. Kelly, liked him, and apparently fell in love with him. And had not seen the tape.
What? Well, I'll grant that she hadn't seen the tape, right? I can grant that because there's a whole bunch of people who hadn't seen the tape.
Right.
However, there's also a whole bunch of people who just, you know, they chose not to for whatever reason. Like, I don't need to see that shit. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to see it. I've heard about it. I don't need to see it. So I grant that she didn't see the tape. But what I'm not understanding is, like, with her and with the Savages, is this idea that they were oblivious to all of this shit surrounding him before their interactions with him. And that's the shit that's like, kind of like, you know, like, what are you, wait, how? You know what I'm saying?
But this is the thing. The Savages never said that they were oblivious to it. They said they knew about it and he.
They downplayed how much they knew. Like, they talked about, like, well, we had heard he had went on trial for, like, you know, a little something. But, you know, he got found not guilty. So we ain't think nothing else about it.
But that's the key word. They looked at it like, well, he was found not guilty. So obviously he didn't do it. Mm. That's how they're looking at it. Mm. Which, all right, dummy, but
yeah, like, and that's why, like, I was saying, like, you don't want to victim blame, because I really don't. Like, what she went through was terrible and no one should go through that. I'm just like, man, what the fuck though? Like, the initial, like, get together and, like, the willful ignorance of, I'm not going to pay attention to all of these things surrounding this dude. Like, I that's right now, that's something that I'm really finding a hard time wrapping my head around. Are these folks who were just like, well, they acted as if they just did not know how R. Kelly rolled in 2011. You know what I'm saying? Like, in 2015, in 2016, like, they're acting as if they had no clue that there were all these things surrounding this dude. And this is what I'm like, how? It's just not what I'm not understanding that.
Though, yeah, her story was sad, but I mean, it didn't stand out as much to me as the Azriel.
Yeah.
Because when they said she met R. Kelly because she was at a concert with her parents, like, celebrating her dad's birthday. Mm. I had so many fucking, like, questions, like, question marks just, like, covered the screen. Because yeah. I'm like, one, what the fuck are you taking a 17-year-old child to an R. Kelly concert for?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, and it's to celebrate, okay, you're going as a family. That's not a family, like, that's not a family activity. That's like a date night activity, or, like, fans are going. Like, and then, okay, so fine. Okay, you went to the concert, you had your child, you took your child to the concert, whatever. All right, y'all all fans. Okay. You let your child get pulled up on stage.
Hold on, baby. I got that clip.
Like,
I got that clip. Hold on a second.
Our daughter met R. Kelly at a concert in Orlando that we all went to celebrating for my husband's birthday. He actually pulled her out the crowd on stage. Azriel was 17. We had no idea that she was going through some personal things, I guess, in her life, you know,
Okay, so she kind of broke up right there. But there's an additional clip. Hold on a second. I'm trying to get to that point. All right, right there.
When R. Kelly picked my daughter to go up on stage, they danced and it was a bunch of young ladies he picked out. Everybody knew R. Kelly's background with females. You know, you kind of suppress the thought.
He's never been found guilty on any of the charges. So, I mean, if you look at it, you know, from a legal standpoint, you think, okay, maybe it wasn't any truth or validity to it, because people make accusations from people all the time. It doesn't mean it's actually true.
I felt.
Okay. This frustrated me to no fucking end.
Yeah.
Because, like, these are the people that you see all the time who say, well, yeah, I listen to them, but I wouldn't leave my daughter alone with them. These are the living embodiment of people who say that sort of shit online all the time. Because they literally were saying this shit pretty much throughout their whole time on here. Like, well, you know, we were big fans. You know, we had heard some few things. You know, he wasn't found guilty of anything. So, you know, people make accusations all the time. Not going to be my daughter. Like, they had concerns about him being alone with her from the gate. But they felt like they needed to go, like... I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry. Did you have any thoughts on this?
Like, I mean,
I'm sorry, man. This is so frustrating
to watch them. Just let me go back to this point. He pulled their daughter on stage. I don't care if I have been at a damn B2K concert. And I, you know, and my mom and dad had to be there because I was what, like 14, whatever. And whoever had pulled me up on stage, my dad would have yanked my ass back by my ponytail. Like, we all know what happens at R&B concerts and stuff on stage. They're not inviting you on stage to say a prayer with you. They're inviting you on stage to be sexual with you.
And not only that, knowing the content of R. Kelly's music. Like, you are R. Kelly fans, clearly.
Clearly, you have been listening.
You've been listening to R. Kelly throughout all of this shit. And you take your daughter to an R. Kelly concert. R. Kelly pulls your daughter out of the crowd and you just like,
Hell no.
There's a little bit more, though, because I didn't even let the clip play all the way through, but here's...
So, you know, yeah, I know his background, but my daughter gonna be different. I'm right here with her mom right here with her. So I was, you know, me being a father, a protective father, I'm okay with it, because I don't think none of this could happen to me. And then the way they had to exit was through the back.
Right. So, yeah.
My man's, you not a protective father if you let your daughter get taken on stage at a sexual R&B concert of someone that you know is a sexual predator. You can't call, you shouldn't even be calling yourself a father. Call yourself an asshole, because that's what the fuck you look like, my man's. Like, that's it.
Yeah, I had the hardest time. Like, I just couldn't. I was like, yo, what the fuck? Like, y'all, like, every tweet really during this whole entire, like, with the, when they had the Clary's, Azriel Clary's family, like, on screen, the entire time I'm sitting, I'm like, man, what the fuck?
And it's super hard, it's super hard, it's very hard not to judge them and not to just be like, man, fuck y'all, because y'all did the fool. But, I mean, can we be adults and can we be honest? They made a poor decision.
They
made an error in judgment. And then not only was not the last thing, like, okay, you would think this happens and you're like, whew, okay, we shouldn't have did that. But then they continued to make poor decisions down the line, continued.
Here's another clip.
We get a phone call. She finally called me and said, oh, I'm at a hotel in Kissimmee meeting with R. Kelly. And the first thing I thought was, I have to leave work, like, right now, immediately. I called my husband, and he was at work, and he said, I'm on my way, too. He left work. That's a grown man, and I've heard of the allegations in the past about him, so it kind of freaked me out, because I'm thinking, she's never done anything without us. Why would R. Kelly, as a man, want to meet our daughter by herself?
Why would she even go without one of us? You know, and we told her from the beginning when she got it, we don't want you around him, Nova, by yourself. You always gotta be with one of us.
Yeah, fuck all that. Y'all as fans, you knew this dude's reputation, and yet and still, y'all just like, well, you know, what can we really do? You know, it's R. Kelly. You know, she got to be with us at all times. Like, you already know this dude's reputation. Like, why are you even entertaining this whole thing of, and I know the girl was an aspiring singer and everything else, but like, you already know this guy's reputation. Why are you even entertaining this shit? Like, I swear, I was trying not to be this upset with the parents. But it was hard, y'all. It was fucking hard not to just, like, what the fuck? Like, I keep saying, like, I just wanted to say what the fuck the entire time these folks were on the damn screen, man.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. It's just this, and the fact that also this is not the end of, like in that clip, like, they didn't make a bad decision yet again, because they didn't know what was the situation. They made the right decision and like, we gotta go, we gotta leave right now. But instead of that being the end, that being the last straw, that being like, okay, now they didn't put their daughter on lockdown, they didn't, you know what I'm saying, like, cut all communication, cut all ties. They was just like, if you want to see him again, one of us gotta be with you.
Yeah, check this out.
As she was with R. Kelly, in a room alone.
She was auditioning, is the word that was used. She was auditioning for him. And so we said, no. That, no. She needs to come down, or he needs to come down, or whatever. Well, eventually, Azriel came down. He never came down.
She went into the whole spiel, hey, we messing it up. It was a real interview. And why would you come down? Y'all gonna mess up my shot. You know, this is my chance. This is what we all working for. You know, this is my career. Y'all pulled it back me. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe it was innocent. You know, and maybe it was an interview, but she should have called us.
All right. So those were all the clips that I saved of them. I know there was an additional clip with her sister, because they actually sent their daughter to Chicago with R. Kelly. And their other daughter. They sent their other daughter too.
Now, let me just say,
ooh,
the other daughter, Isis, she had me until she also fucked up. Because Isis was a real one. Like,
yeah.
What you mean we gotta ask? I'm going to get something. Like, I'm a grown-ass woman. Like, she wasn't having it. Isis wasn't having it until the situation where I don't even remember really what happened.
Well, she went back. Her sister was saying something to the effect of, you know, R. Kelly's gonna get us and all that. That's where she started talking about the whole, you know, that nigga's not my daddy. You know, yeah. I don't have to ask him, you know, when to go and how to do all this other stuff. And they had taken her someplace else. Like, she came back from wherever it was she had went to go do something.
Well, no, she says she woke up. They went, you know, they went back to the hotel or whatever. She said, come on, we're leaving. They went back to the hotel. She woke up and Azriel was gone.
Right.
So then she went back to the studio and couldn't find her. Went through all these rooms, started noticing all these things. And then when she did get back in contact with Azriel, she's like, you need to calm down. Like, it's not that, blah, blah, blah. But then some of R. Kelly's people took her, like, you know, dragged her out of the studio. She was holding on to her sister. They dragged her out of the studio, and they're like, they take her somewhere, they drop her off, and they threaten her. Like, yeah, we're gonna, you know, saying, fuck your family up and do all this, that, and the other. And she was scared. So she did not immediately did not call and tell her mom and dad something was wrong.
Right.
She basically was like, oh shit, I'm afraid, and never said anything until like months later.
Right.
Because I'm going to tell you, I was like, finally, a real bitch is in the room. Like, yes. And then she was like, oh, I was scared, so I didn't tell. What?
Well, I'll say this, though. Like, for her, I can understand being afraid. Like, if, like, I don't, you know, I've never been, like, you know, swooped up in, like, a van or something with some motherfuckers I don't know, and they're threatening to, like, kill me, kill my family, and everything else. I don't know how I would have dealt with that if I didn't have any, like, if I didn't know really the, and then on top of that, you're thinking about somebody who has, you know, who has the cachet of R. Kelly, who has, you know, what, money and fame and means and power, and, you know, people are looking at him like, yo, he probably could make something happen to me.
But this is the thing, though. Did R. Kelly have a reputation of like a hood nigga, like a thug, or like a?
No, I don't think
he was fight. Was he? But fighting? I don't even think, was he shooting?
I don't know. I don't even get that. I don't get that from R. Kelly. I don't think he's ever had that reputation in Chicago either. But there are people who are willing to protect R. Kelly, and they were in Chicago. So for her, she's like, yo, that could probably very well be a thing that, you know, maybe I need to protect my sister. If I say something, maybe he's going to do something to my sister. If I say something, maybe, you know, something that happened to my family. But while they're in Chicago, and the way that niggas love R. Kelly in Chicago, it's not far-fetched to think that R. Kelly couldn't just, like, say something and get somebody to do something. You know, there's somebody who's willing to, like, you know, do something for a celebrity just to be seen or just to be recognized and be rewarded some sort of way. There's plenty of niggas in the hood that's going to do some shit for a nigga just to be seen and be recognized. Like, it's a whole lot of motherfuckers that would do that.
I don't know. Like, that part kind of just struck me as strange because, I mean, aside from being not that bright, neither one of her parents came off like quiet suburban people that would be afraid and like this could happen. Like, even in the end, like, the mom was like, I've been to jail and I don't care about going back. Like, the dad, although, like, he made some, like, I'm questioning him as a father and as a man, he just didn't, they didn't come across as like, they didn't come across as like the type of people that you would be worried that somebody gonna come beat your dad up or something like that. Right. He just didn't come across, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, and I get that, baby. I guess the thing that I'm saying is, like, when you're dealing with somebody who has money, fame, and what a lot of people will perceive to be as power, like, for him to just say, like, you know, I could have something happen to you, it's not far-fetched that something could probably happen to you, you know? And like, I don't think it's that far-fetched at all. And maybe that was something that Isis, her sister, was like, you know, she was scared. Like,
oh yeah, I mean, she definitely came across like she was like
to not say anything. Was,
she was scared. But I don't know. It's just like, god damn. Then, okay, so you know that your one daughter is off with this predator, so you send your other daughter. Yeah. Like, it never ceases to amaze me the lengths that people will go when they smell just like that whiff of like fame and fortune and celebrity.
Yeah.
It never ceases to amaze me how far people will go to get to that or to climb that ladder. Mm-hmm. and move up. Like, you really, what people don't understand is like, people who are celebrities, like, although now, you know, the definition of celebrity has been kind of stretched and misused now, people who have, you know, the level of fame that R. Kelly has, those people are one in a million. One, you know, like, everybody's not gonna get that. Chances are your daughter from wherever is not gonna get that. Like, she's not gonna be the next Beyonce. But people don't, they are just so enamored with, like, she's going to be big. He's going to make her a star. We're going to have all this money. And she's going to have, you know, this great life and everything else. That, like, it's like all common sense just goes straight out the window.
Yeah.
It's like, flies right out the window. Because at the end of the day, like, that's what the root of it all was. It wasn't like he just said, I'm going to take your daughter shopping, or I'm going to take her and, you know, I'm going to, you know, buy her a new car. It was like, oh, he may be able to make her a star.
Yeah.
It wasn't like that she was like, this is my new boyfriend, I just want to go with him. You let her go. You let her drop out of school and be homeschooled or whatever. That made up lie. And be a star.
And not only that, I think that the other thing that I think was like an egregious fucking failure was when they said that, you know, they were going to have, when her sister came back and then he said that he would have someone watch over her that was also going to be a female, and she was from the label, and, you know, she's going to make sure she do, you know, she does everything she's supposed to do educational wise and all these other things. And I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, so he says she's a female. You don't know her.
You don't know what kind of female.
You don't know her. Like,
hey, females can be predators too.
There's that. But also, like, again, you already have apprehensions about this dude. And all he had to say to you was, I'm going to have somebody watch over her, and it's going to be somebody from the label, and it's going to be a woman.
And, I mean, miraculously, the girl ended up graduating from high school.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. So, obviously, someone did make sure she was doing her schoolwork. She ended up still graduating.
Right.
I don't understand how. I don't know what the real situation was with that. But, like, it was heartbreaking to see them, like, outside that studio. And, like, they called the parents. I mean, like,
I definitely felt for them.
The police. And, like, the last resort that people in this situation have, often, especially because she was 18, she was an adult.
She's 20 now.
Yeah, that the last resort that people have is to do what's called a wellness check, where you call and say, like, I'm worried about this person. I haven't seen them. I haven't heard from them. Can you just make sure that they're okay?
Right.
But in order to do a wellness check, whoever is inside the residence or wherever else, someone has to open the door.
Right.
And no one opened the door. So the police were like, we can't just bang down the door because you think your daughter may be in there, who is a grown woman. Like, we can't just take your word for it.
Right.
You know? And that had to be, it was heartbreaking to see them, like, trying to throw a stone at the window. Like, please just talk to us. Like, anything. Like,
yeah.
That was, ugh.
Yeah, I definitely felt for them then. It was just, like I said, man, just, like, everything leading up to that, though, I was just the whole time, like, man, what were y'all thinking? Like, yeah. Like, come on. And it was just... That I think for me, looking at this, it just, like, they just didn't, like, the parents outside of Dominique's mom, like, the parents just did not come across looking good in this particular part of the series. Although, as much as, like, the Savages were kind of, like, you know, complicit in their daughter, you know, kind of coming up missing, so to speak. They were also instrumental in, you know, publicizing the fact that R. Kelly was holding a lot of women at his house. Some of them may be there, you know, not necessarily of their consent. And, you know, like, TMZ picked this up, like, what was that? I want to say the Rolling Stone, I think it was, they said. Whoever Jim DeRogatis is writing for now. BuzzFeed News picked this up, and, like, the story gained a lot of traction there. You know, and that's where, like, you know, the Me Too movement kind of helped kind of, you know, amplify the story. You had a lot, you know, tying that into, you know, like, Harvey Weinstein and, you know, Kevin Spacey and all these, you know, these big Hollywood names that were being taken down because of the sexual proclivities with, you know, whether it be, you know, raping people or just being with underage people. Like, the Mute R. Kelly movement started gaining a lot of traction. Were you aware of any of these, like movements before that, before this series?
I mean, obviously I had heard, you know, I was aware of, like, Me Too and all that. And, like, the Mute R. Kelly thing, it wasn't as big as Me Too, but I had obviously heard about it. And I remember the concert I remember the concert that in Detroit where they were showing people in line for. I remember two of those concerts. I remember the one that was on the riverfront. I remember that. And I remember, I kind of remember him being coming to Little Caesars Arena. Like, I kind of remember that. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, and I also remember talks about when, Tom Joyner was saying, okay, I won't play R. Kelly's music anymore. But, like, I was just on the way home coming, you know, home from my parents' house earlier today. And I'm listening to the radio and a song comes on and I'm like jarred into, like, you know, you like kind of dazed and off into, like, you driving along, whatever, right, your usual route. And then, like, I realized an R. Kelly song just came on my fucking radio and I was like jarred back into reality. Like, what the fuck is happening?
Right.
You know, especially since we're in the midst of all this and it's just like, it just kind of made me realize, like,
what station was that?
It was 105.1.
Fuck y'all.
And I was just thinking to myself, like, what the fuck is happening here? Like, what is going on? But that's the thing. Tom Joyner said, I won't play any more of his music, but he's talking about on the morning show.
Yeah.
If you tune into, you know, 105.9 or wherever else they play Tom Joyner in the afternoon, the evening, and whatever else, you might hear R. Kelly.
Well, you know, like, yeah, and, like, the whole, like, I remember when Tom Joyner announced that he would no longer play R. Kelly music on his radio show and stuff like that. I was like, you know, there was a lot of kudos given to Tom Joyner, but I was just sitting up like, yeah, he's also getting ready to fucking retire. You know what I'm saying? When that announcement came out, like, I think he's probably, if he hasn't retired already, like, he was on his way out the door, like, yo, like, I guess.
I don't know if he was retired. I don't know if that's because I'm never listening to the radio at that time of day, yeah, or because the stations here, like, the Breakfast Club comes on one station, and, like, Steve Harvey comes on.
Yeah.
So, I don't really know. I mean, I can remember, like, every day on the way to school in high school listening to the Tom Joyner Morning Show. It's just a little crazy.
Okay, so he's not going to retire until, like, he retires at the end of this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. So, I know they kind of alluded to the fact that, like, he got evicted from his houses in Atlanta. That, you know, the Me Too and the Mute R. Kelly movements had, like, started gaining some traction. And, you know, shows started to be canceled. You know, more and more prominent radio hosts and podcast hosts were, you know, openly speaking out against R. Kelly. And they were talking about him having, like, money troubles.
Yeah.
After this, though, like, you know, I kind of wonder, like, after this, do you think, as we kind of wrap this up, do you think that after this goes away, that R. Kelly is going to be able to still, you know, be out here and move in the same ways that he was before this particular series came out?
Yes and no. Because if you think about, you know, last month or whenever, like, it ain't like R. Kelly really out here popping. Like, I think Toure was on there and said, like, we have to question these companies because he's still signed to RCA, but he's not on their current roster. They mm-hmm. don't have him listed as, like, they're expecting an album from him or anything. So why are they still, you know, claiming him? Why is he still signed to them? What is, if they're not even, he doesn't have, like, a current contract where there's, like, a expectation for him to come out with any type of music, any albums or anything. He doesn't have any of those commitments. So what are they still doing supporting him after all of this? So I think that there are still going to be very many people that are willing to go see an R. Kelly concert. They're going to listen to his music. They're going to, you know, say he's not guilty, or they're going to say whatever they have to say about him. They're still going to support him. I think that a lot of us, things like this, a lot of us who were not so educated about everything that happened, mm-hmm. but are, you know, of a certain moral quality. I'll say for myself, I was not that educated on everything that happened. I knew what happened. I had seen the tape. And it wasn't like I was a mild R. Kelly listener. Every once in a while, if I wanted to hear, like, you know, one of my favorite songs from back in the day or whatever, I would listen.
Right.
But now, this has forced me to kind of come face to face with everything that has happened and forced me to really take a stand and have a true opinion about everything that has happened and made me be like, no, fuck that. I will not listen and I will change the station and I will, like, do all these things. I will, you know, stand up and say, like, what he did is wrong.
Yeah.
And that I believe these women. And so many people that are like me that acknowledge that he was fucked up or whatever, they're probably, you know, okay, they're really acknowledging it now.
Yeah.
But there's going to be many people, I don't think that this is going to change the minds of those people that are like, at least, I don't think it's going to change a lot of the minds of those people that are like, no, they're just trying to tear a black man down. Yeah. Or no, he was found not guilty, so why y'all still messing with him? Like, that.
The side of the
change,
fans.
I don't think it's going to change many people's minds. I think there will be some, because they're probably watching it because maybe everyone else is watching it and they want to be involved and they're going to, by chance, like, learn some things and whatever else. But I don't think it's going to change, like, the world's mind.
Yeah. I think, okay, well, for one, I know this. Like, I know when this series first started and I started seeing some of the people that I used to see defending R. Kelly, you know, talk about how disgusted they were, you know, by this. And at first I was kind of like, man, like, some of y'all niggas is just too old to just now be disgusted with R. Kelly. Like, y'all had to be privy to this information, and, you know, you had to know just as much as, like, because it was everywhere. At least, like, as far as my purview was concerned, like, it seemed to me like that information was everywhere. It was readily available to anybody. But I also want to say that, you know, like, understanding that sometimes people come into their understanding in their own time, and I don't want to make people feel bad for like finally coming to the realization, because ultimately that's what I wanted. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wanted people to, like, kind of come to the realization, like, yo, this is fucked up, in much the same way that I, like, you know, like how I was looking at it, like, it was fucked up. And, like, you know, you want people to be educated, and you want people to kind of, you know, understand it, but you can't also beat them down, you know, because they didn't get it as soon as you did. And I sometimes am guilty of doing that to folks. And, you know, I want to apologize to folks who felt that way, because I know I like, you know, I'm passionate about this shit. I really am. And, like, sometimes it comes off like really wrong.
Well, can I just say real quick, R. Kelly's Spotify streams have increased by 16% since this docuseries has premiered.
Okay, and I was aware of that. And I also kind of wanted to speak to that, too, because when I saw that story about his Spotify streams going up, a couple things that I was thinking, like, I know a lot of people were just like, yo, that's just his fans. Like, yo, we got to support R. Kelly, you know, fuck all the bullshit and everything else. But low-key, I kind of feel like there's a lot of people who are listening to that music and they're trying to, like, you know, after watching this, they're listening to that music and they're picking up on certain things that they may not necessarily have picked up on before.
Yeah, and let me tell you, if you want to do that, there is an app and a website called HookTube. And where you can watch YouTube videos without giving that person views. And a lot of people do that because they want to, like, hate watch, like, Jeffree Star and, like, people who have said controversial things online. So if you are one of those people that you just are interested in, you want to go back and, like, read into some things or, like, you know what I'm saying, prove something to yourself, and that's, like, your honest, like, what you really want to do. Like, you can use stuff like that to not support him, not go on, like, Spotify, Apple Music, and wherever else.
Yeah.
Like, giving him those streams. Because he does make money, whether it's, like, 1/945th of a cent. Like, he still makes money off of when people stream his music.
Yeah. Yeah. And, all of that. But also, when I saw that story, that was kind of one of the things I was like, I don't know if all of those listens are people who are listening to support him that may just be like, yo, what have I been, like, really just not listening to? Like, I've been grooving to this music. I just kind of been stepping and shit like that, not really paying attention to what this motherfucker been saying. And it's like with the whole, like, they made the point that, you know, the song that he had wrote for Michael Jackson, You Are Not Alone, was, you know, to Lizette Martinez, whom had an abortion for him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And like she had, you know, I think she says she almost died or something like that.
Yeah, she got mono. She got mono from him, and then it turned into Guillain-Barré, which is like your whole body becomes like paralyzed. It's really severe.
Yeah.
And so she was in the hospital for, you know, she almost died.
Yeah.
And he sent her mom a check for $1,000.
Yeah. Like, what the fuck? But, yeah, but, as far as people's minds being changed, I think that there are going to be some minds changed. Truth be told, unless it's 100% of motherfuckers, like, I'm just like, but, because I still feel like there's just way too much information for people to not just like drop this motherfucker altogether. However, there's a lot of people who also don't want to watch it and said they weren't going to watch it because they were fans of R. Kelly. And I think a lot of that is they were trying to protect themselves from having to defend, you know,
their choice
of listening to R. Kelly with this out. Like if they knew all of these things, then it taints the music that they've been trying to enjoy, despite everybody saying like, yo, you know, that's some bullshit, right? Yeah. And so you know, for those people, the hardcore motherfuckers who, no matter how many women he abuses, no matter how many underage girls he's taking advantage of, like, they just don't give a fuck, they trying to get the next bop, then, you know, you're not going to reach those people. But I do think that there are going to be some people who have their minds changed after watching this. And there is a poll on the website after we post this, because, I mean, well, by the time you hear this, it'll be posted. But there is a poll on the website on this particular episode. And the question is basically, did the surviving R. Kelly series change your mind about the man? And so there's five different options for you. Like, I separate him from his music. I was not aware of all of these accusations. I can't believe I supported him this long. I don't care. I always thought he was a creep needing to be locked up. So those are your choices. You can vote in that poll. Let us know what you guys are thinking about the series and how you felt about it. And we about to get on up out of here, baby. So did you have anything you wanted to say before we roll out?
I just want to say, while this is a hot topic and while we're all on the internet, we're all talking about it, I want to reiterate again that, like, the people that are the victims and that are survivors of, you know, R. Kelly, they are real people. Mm-hmm. While you may not be able to find their social media, they may be looking at social media right now to see what people are saying. And let's just try to be not to be as hard on them. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid that someone, maybe any of them, are going to come out and, like, they're going to do something terrible, or they're going to, I don't want to see, this is the problem. I appreciate them and I respect them for coming out and telling their stories, but I don't want to see a reality show. I don't want to see any of them coming out with a t-shirt line. I don't want to, you know what I'm saying, trying to, yeah. I don't want to see that. Just like when people find out that the Savages have like a YouTube channel and they be doing like family vlogs mixed with like videos about Joycelyn wanting her to come back and stuff.
Yeah.
That fucking YouTube channel the comment section is going to be shambles for those people.
Yeah.
When people find that out, because people are going to be judging them like, y'all trying to get these views off of, you know what I'm saying, Joycelyn being missing and whatever else. Like, we got to remember, like, these are real human beings. These are real people. Yeah. And a lot of them, not including Drea, they don't want to be in the public eye. They don't want to be reality stars. They don't want to be, you know, some of them that wanted to be singers and stuff, like they said at the end, like, they have real jobs. They have businesses. They have their own things going on. They're doing this to spread the word about the monster that is R. Kelly. So while it's okay to be critical, it's okay to have an opinion, we got to realize these are real people and these are real things that happen to them. So, like, you say what you want to say, but, you know what I'm saying?
Be mindful.
Be mindful of that fact.
Yeah.
You know? They knew what they were getting into. They know millions of people were going to see this. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that they're prepared, but still be mindful that this isn't a Mona Scott production. This is a real documentary. This is real people's stories.
Yeah. And even with them being prepared, I think sometimes, like, you can think that you're prepared for something, and then every fucking body is talking about it.
Yes.
And you're just not. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You're just not. And so, that was apropos, babe.
I mean, and the last thing I want to say is also, it's okay if you were triggered by this. It's okay if you're a survivor yourself of whatever molestation, sexual abuse, abusive relationship. It's okay to be triggered by this.
Yeah.
And it's okay to not want to be involved in this conversation. Please protect yourself, protect your mental stability. If this is inviting too much negativity or bringing up something bad for you, give the internet a break. Give the hashtag a break. Like, take care of yourself first. Yeah. Like, you may want to be a part of the conversation, but you gotta take care of yourself and your mental stability first.
Yeah. Well said, baby. We about to go. It's late. It's what? 1:41 now.
Yeah. We've been doing this all week, man. Three nights in a row
we've been podcasting, man.
We'll be back to like our regularly scheduled program. We're going to watch some shows and see some movies and that type of thing. So we'll be back to
We got some stuff to see. But we will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam. Peace.
Bye.